Good afternoon. My name is Andy Cutchins, director of the Russia-Eurasia program here at the Center for Strategic International Studies, and I'm very pleased to welcome to the studio this afternoon Mark Katz from George Mason University, who's been taking part in our conference over the course of the day on the impact of the Arab Spring on Russia, Central Asia, and the Caucasus. And in the last panel, he made an excellent presentation talking about the impact of the Arab Spring on the U.S.-Russia relationship. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks, Andy. Good to be here.
So, Mark, what's maybe if you can summarize for our listeners your take on the impact of the Arab Spring for U.S.-Russia relations, and to what extent we have been working together and cooperating, the similarities, and where are the key differences?
Very good. You know, I think that whereas in the news what we see is that there are differences between Russia and America with regard to the Arab Spring, it strikes me that, in fact, there are a lot more similarities, that our policies have been more in tune with each other in several respects. There have been differences, of course, on others, especially Libya and Syria, but what strikes me is that over time these differences have become mitigated. Russia and the U.S. both are faced with a situation where these are surprising events. We didn't expect these things to happen. Both, you know, Russia, like America and the West, accepted change in Tunisia, accepted change in Egypt. They were unhappy about the idea of NATO intervention in Libya. But the amazing thing was that they did not stop the UN Security Council resolution, and I think that, you know, effectively what that meant was that they let it to go forward. Now, they complained an awful lot afterwards, but so has the Arab League, which called for it to begin with. So I don't think Russia is unusual here. Like us, they did nothing to stop the suppression of the revolution in Bahrain. And like us, they're also keeping their distance from what's happening in Yemen. Now, what we see is that there are differences with regard to Syria, America and Europe want to have a Security Council resolution against the Syrian government. The Russians have opposed this. But, you know, I think, quite frankly, that the U.S. does not really want to intervene in Syria. So, quite frankly, for the Russians to be the ones to oppose any kind of resolution at the U.N. about this is very convenient for Washington right now.
You know, I wonder, given the complications of the intervention in Libya, as to whether someone in Washington and the Obama administration are wishing that the Russians had vetoed the UN resolution.
Yeah, I think that there may be some remorse there, that maybe the Russians shouldn't have been quite so helpful, that it hasn't helped us after all.
Mark, you've been a keen observer on Iran and the Russian-Iranian relationship for a number of years. This is not a topic that we covered much in the conference, but I was wondering how you saw the perspectives of Russia and Iran. To what extent are they in line in viewing what's been happening in the Middle East?
Well, I think that the Iranian government, you know, welcomed the change in Egypt. You know, unlike the U.S. and Russia, the Iranians were very enthusiastic. The Supreme Leader Khamenei, you know, talked about how what was happening in Egypt was similar to what had happened in Iran in 1979. But now I think we're seeing that the Iranians are having second thoughts, that they're happy to see political change in Egypt if they thought it was going their direction, but they don't want to see political change in Syria at all. In fact, they seem to be doing an awful lot to prop up that regime, and they see their own interests and influences being very much at stake. And so they're behaving very differently from the Russians, it seems to me. You know, the Russians want to prevent intervention, but they're not really doing an awful lot to help the Syrians materially, whereas the Iranians really are.
So that relationship for Iran with Syria is much, much more significant than for Moscow.
I think it is. And also, of course, the real sort of elephant in the room is that, are we going to see something similar happen in Iran again? Just, you know, as, you know, just 2 years ago, we had the Green Movement active, up to 2 million in the streets. Is there going to be regime change in Iran? And I think this is something that the Russians would be very wary about. I think that they've always been worried that one day there might be an Iranian-American rapprochement, and that this would lead to Iran turning to the U.S., and not only that, but you know, Central Asian and Caucasus states exporting their oil and gas via Iran instead of Russia, that Russia's you know, geopolitical interests would be very much affected by improved Iranian-American relations. And so I think they worry about this possibility. But so far, of course, we haven't seen anything like this developing in Iran. But they must worry that this bizarre feud that's developed between the Supreme Leader Khamenei and President Ahmadinejad, which no one would have predicted a year ago, must make the regime there seem even shakier than before.
Yeah, that is very worrisome, because that was in the discussions earlier today. It seemed that the one factor which is necessary for these kind of revolutionary events to take place and to depose a regime is for there to be conflict within the political elite.
Yes, that I think is, you know, several theorists of revolution have pointed that out in the past, and I think that that, you know, inter-elite conflict is one of the key factors that allows revolution to occur, and certainly this is happening now in Iran.
And do you see a similar justification for concern within Russia about this kind of event taking place, given that their political season is upon us now?
I, for one, don't. I think that that Putin and Medvedev are very much on the same page, that they may have some disagreements, but I think that these two, you know, are comfortable with each other sufficiently that they can disagree in public, that their interests are basically the same.
Well, Mark, thanks so much for coming to the studio this afternoon, and more so for participating in our conference today. You really added a lot to it, and we look forward to seeing you more here.
Well, thanks. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.